Ours to Protect, brought to you by LMFM, the IBI, and funded by Cumasun na Meán with a television licence fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.
Welcome to the final episode of Ours to Protect, where today we're focusing on air pollution and some of the solutions to improve the quality of the air we all breathe and need for life. One of the most culpable sources of air pollution is the combustion engine and its emissions. Motorised vehicles spew nitrogen oxides by the ton into the atmosphere. Motoring correspondent with Dundeel Cars, Paddy Common, believes the transition to electric vehicles will make a huge difference to cleaning up the car industry's act.
It would make quite a big difference, and we're still quite a bit away from that at the moment. But if say we all went to electric vehicles, urban NOx emissions, now, and the NOx are the ones that cause people breathing difficulties and especially are adverse to people who have pre-existing breathing conditions, it would fall by as much as 80-90%. And the last time we saw a really big drop was during the COVID-19 pandemic, when, you know, we were all stuck at home and we couldn't drive beyond 5 kilometres, and there was massive drops in pollution levels during that time. Now, EVs aren't entirely the solution. There are still some emissions from them, likes of brake dust, tire wear, that can cause some emissions from them. So, but it would greatly reduce what we're seeing so far. The bigger emitter is from the tailpipe, and you know, we're both old enough to remember, you know, Dublin City. When you'd go up in the 70s and 80s, you would visibly see the smog and the smoke from various different vehicles. Now that's largely a thing of the past, but we still, by and large, have a petrol and diesel car park out there. But if we did move to EVs, there's no tailpipe, so you know, you're removing NOx, carbon monoxide, unburned hydrocarbons and soot particles pretty much entirely. So anything that comes out of the tailpipe, pretty much eradicated. Now, there are emissions made in production of EVs, and that's not something that the manufacturers have perfectly solved yet. So even buying one, you know, it's going to take a couple of years of driving one before you're carbon neutral. But yeah, you're immediately solving what's coming out of the tailpipe, because there isn't one. Talking to Bridgestone Tyres during the week, they were saying that they are, you know, they're getting there with tyres that reduce particles, and you know, compared to tyres of 20, 30 years ago, it's vastly different. And lots of EVs as well have regenerative braking, so you're not exactly braking when you let off the foot. When you let your foot off the brake or the accelerator, it will actually let down the car itself. So you're braking less in the EV. So the EVs in the short term, anyway, are a very viable solution to drastically reduce the emissions we're seeing. It's interesting to see that, you know, even the production of EVs does use an awful lot of energy. Volvo actually ran the numbers recently, and they're saying that because of the battery, the EV takes more energy, emits more CO2 to build than a regular petrol or diesel car, but after about 50 to 60,000 kilometres of driving, it's already producing less CO2 overall than the petrol version. So you know, buying an EV in production terms is higher, but if you drive it for a significant length of time, overall the benefits are there. For some people it's a bit of a challenge, but you know, to get over the line. But look, once you find it and get into that routine of driving one, you'll probably never go back.
Yes, making the move to EVs will be significant. Thanks, Paddy. Kieran Brennan, Communications Officer with the Irish Environmental Network, a motorist himself, has misgivings about the supposed freedom cars give us, and is an advocate for the greater availability and use of public transport, which can feed into the push for cleaner air.
Look at it in the sense of how cars are portrayed to us in ads. It's like you see an ad and the car is driving through, you know, city streets with no traffic, you know, people find parking spaces no problem, and it's like, you know, you've just freedom to move anywhere and anywhere you like. And I said, this is a kind of odds of maybe how a lot of people really find a motoring experience on a given day, particularly commuters. You know, they're stuck in gridlock, exhaust fumes putting pollution into the air, they're having to try and find rat runs, they're suffering from road rage, and they're involved in little accidents here and there. And I just kind of go, as well as that whole idea of that it's not as free as it's made out to be on the ads, there's also the kind of, I suppose, environmental cost in terms of pollution. You know, exhaust level fumes that come out at that level where people who are on the streets, cyclists or pedestrians, are taking in all this I suppose polluted air, fine particle, you know, from exhaust fumes entering, you know, entering their bodies. So I said, there's a cost, I say, attached. I use a car, like, I am a motorist. I'm not going to say that people don't need a car every now and again or quite a lot in their lives. But we have to take a step back, and I know there's people will be on the, listening to the radio in the cars, you know, screaming at, like, who let that gob whatever onto the radio to talk about cars being bad for the environment. I've got no choice because there's no public transport. But we have to take a step back and look at how we've treated public transport as a society, as a country, nearly since the foundation of the state. It's been policy choices by the government, merely to put all the eggs in one basket of the private car at the expense of public transport. 1900, the tram system in Dublin was considered one of the best in the world. I think it was gone nearly by 1950, 30 years after we got independence. In 1920, we had 5,600 kilometres of rail track in Ireland. By the 1950s and 60s, that was halved, and today we've got 1,700. So I can understand how people say, well, there's no public transport, there's no public transport in rural Ireland. It's because we've made policy choices, as you know, governments have made policy choices over the years to basically downgrade public transport or maybe pay lip service to it. And we saw it maybe in the last government where we had a reverse of that, and it was quite good. We saw a more kind of rural bus routes, and while that won't serve everybody, it will take some of the private transport off the roads. It's all about giving people an option, because I'm sure there's people who would like to say, well, look, someday I'd just like to take a bus rather than drive in and be stuck in traffic and whatever. So it's about reversing that trend and maybe giving people a choice by putting more public transport, particularly bus routes in rural Ireland. Urban areas can be served better. Obviously Dublin has Lewis and it's got Dart and whatever, but we should be looking say in other cities like Galway and Limerick should be also having their Lewis's, and Cork should be having their Lewis's, and then maybe bus services in large towns like Drogheda, like Dundalk, like Navan, like enhanced services and late night services so people can get home late at night and whatever. So it's not going to be the solution to every problem people have in getting around in rural Ireland, but we could be certainly doing a lot more.
There you have it. More environmentally friendly public transport will go away towards improving life and air quality in Ciarán's book. Louise Walsh popped along to Tohar National School, where the pupils there told her what they believe should be done to reduce air pollution.
We could start planting trees and stop. If we're going on a journey and it's only short, we could walk or cycle.
It's better to take public transport like buses and instead of using your car all the time.
So if you're going to maybe like a short distance, maybe you're going to, maybe you live in Dunlea, right, and you're going to the shop. No, instead of going to your car, walk to the shop instead, because it's short distance.
Maybe sometimes think, like, you might not need a new tablet, you maybe just want it so the people are getting it.
You can use, like, if you have, like, an electric car, try to use, like, more electric cars than normal cars, because normal cars, like, release fumes up into the air.
Smoking is bad for your... Stop smoking because it's bad for your lungs.
If you live close to the school, stop using cars, you can cycle.
Like, factories can stop, like, mass producing stuff and do some, like, they should get some manual labour in so it's not, like, as much fumes going into the air.
If you don't need, like, the new iPhone or something, don't buy it, and try and, like, get public transport.
Try to stop using slurry, as it can get fumes up in the air as well.
Instead of burning your rubbish, you can recycle it.
If you want to make, like, a park, or, like, you're going to cut down trees, try to, like, plant them again, like, make seeds and do it, plant them.
Even if you can't walk or cycle, at least take the bus. I know it's still causing air pollution, but it's causing less of it.
If you're going, like, on holidays to, like, somewhere, like, in the country, instead of maybe, like, taking your car and having, like, a few cars of, like, your family and, like, your stuff, you could, like, take the, like, bus and stuff.
You could try drive to destination instead of using an airplane because they use a lot of pollution.
Like, you can try and get, like, a ferry instead of an airplane, and in, like, big cities, it's, like, really hot sometimes, and sometimes it, like, smells because of the air pollution because of all the factories.
When you, like, mine to get, like, gems and stuff and the materials out of the ground.
Natural fires.
Say at Halloween, no one can really stop you from putting off fireworks, and fireworks release toxic fumes.
Try your best not to light bonfires. If too many people do it, the fumes will go up into the air and it'll...
Like, whenever you're, like, producing electricity, we should use windmills instead of, like, going... I don't know how you, like, produce electricity, but I know there is a way, but we should use, like, solar panels and windmills and instead of that.
You could try and get an electric car instead of like a petrol or diesel car, and try and use like green energy, like solar panels and windmills.
Instead of having a fire, you could have like an electric fire that runs off like solar panels or something.
Yes, Toher Primary School says stop air pollution, which we're going to hear more about after this short break.
Ours to Protect is funded by Commission na mBan with the television licence fee and is a partnership between LMFM and the IBI. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.
Welcome back to Ours to Protect, where we're talking about air pollution and possible solutions today. Dennis Duff, an electricity generation specialist, is advocating for clean energy in Ireland. He favours the nuclear power option.
Ireland announced this €275 billion national development plan that they hope is going to do lots of good things. It includes housing and includes energy as well. But there was a free action that they could have taken, which is to remove the silly ban that they have on nuclear energy here in Ireland and look and see, why are they building new nuclear in Britain, our closest neighbour? Why are they doing it in France? How come it's going to save them money? And they reckon it's going to be too expensive for us, or that we just aren't capable of doing it. We have people who work in energy and physics, medical physics. I mean, some people who work in, Irish people who work in nuclear installations abroad, were well capable of operating these plants, designing and running them safely. So why don't we just look at it? It's a free activity that could save us hundreds, if not thousands of euros per year on our future electricity bills. So electricity is the easiest thing to decarbonise. It's been done before. Now, not in Ireland. We're miles away from it in Ireland because we're using too limited a set of technologies. But more importantly, we have to decarbonise energy. And that's the tricky part. I've been looking at this since 1990. I'm now almost retired as an engineer. And would you believe that we're now burning more oil and gas in Ireland than we did in 1990? We're not undergoing an energy transition. We're fiddling around at the outsides of it, where the increased energy demand is just about being met by renewables. But we're not cutting our baseline use of fuels, of fossil fuels.
And is this the answer? Is a nuclear or perhaps a couple of smaller reactors on the island the answer to reducing that dependence on oil and gas?
Absolutely. We can use renewables, we can use wind and solar for when the sun is shining and the wind is blowing. We can use batteries for storage, and we can use hydro storage and maybe even a little bit of hydrogen, although that's very doubtful. But at the times when it's dark, in the middle of winter, when it's still evening, we're going to need a dispatchable source of energy. And every country that's looked at it found that they're better off to have at least some proportion of their energy provided by nuclear than without it. Better off from a cost point of view, from an emissions point of view, and an energy reliability point of view. But you're looking at a timeline for even small nuclear, probably 2035 to 2040 before it can be built, even though they're fairly quick to build these days, 3 to 4 years to build the small ones. So you have to start now. What other countries do is they place them at the site of existing fossil fuel power stations. We're getting nowhere until we change the law. We were at Electric Picnic last year, we're going again this year, and we ran a poll to ask people, would they support removing the ban and looking at all forms of nuclear energy, at all forms of clean energy? And 87% of the people that voted said yes, remove the nuclear ban and look at all forms. So this is a popular thing that for some reason the politicians, their political leaders don't seem to have grasped.
A cleaner option for the future that will certainly reduce emissions. Food for thought from Dennis Duff. Back to Ciarán Brennan with his other hat on as owner of Stonehouse Forest School near Dunlear in County Louth, where trees abound. Ciarán puts in context the importance of trees to the environment and clean air.
Trees are probably the underappreciated player in all of this. We know that trees take in carbon dioxide. We know that. I think studies have shown that trees in towns have shown to reduce pollution and to tackle the kind of toxins that are generated by burning fossil fuels. I think it's not just that they take in carbon dioxide. Some of this particulate matter that comes from exhaust pipes or from burning fossil fuels or in your fire, they rest in the leaves and are absorbed into the leaves of trees. So obviously I'd be talking about broadleaf trees, and we need to see a lot more of kind of urban planting, number one. It's a win-win for everybody because, you know, they're great to look at. It's great to walk into a kind of small wooded area, even particularly if you find yourself in the centre of a town, that you find a park or something like that. And it's also that they deal a lot with the toxins that that fall from the air from air pollution. Of course, I would say that trees are great because I've planted a good few in my time, a good few thousand, and I've got a forest school going in near Dunlair, Stonehouse Forest School, and I'm up and running now at this stage. So it's good. But I think, you know, we have to probably take into account as well that there's a need for a kind of greater kind of rewilding, because it's not just trees on their own. It's the kind of ecosystem of trees. It's the shrubs. It's the, you know, the briars and the ferns and the kind of under forest and all that kind of thing, to create that kind of ecosystem where everything lives healthily, and, you know, there's greater biodiversity. And of course, that will help our air in the long run.
So if you want to help with air quality, plant a tree. Some months ago, at the start of this series, we placed an audio recorder on a tree at St. Oliver's Primary School, Ballymakenny, on the north side of Drogheda. It recorded environmental sounds each day for a time in early morning and late evening. Have a listen to what it picked up on one of those early mornings. Yes, the sounds of humans and nature interacting and going about their business, Ballymakenny way. Let's stay with St. Oliver's Primary School and teacher Alana McVeigh, who says air pollution is a factor in school life.
We do think it is a big issue here, because we have our school and right next to us we have Ballymakenny College, and they have over 1,000 students and we have over 300. So there tends to be a lot of traffic outside the schools, in particular in the mornings and then in the afternoon at pick-up times. And we have found that there is a big problem with air pollution here. And now also because the houses that are being built right next to our school, there's a lot of diggers, there's a lot of other machinery that's being worked there. So we find that that has caused kind of an issue for us lately as well.
Is there a solution?
Well, what we do is we encourage as many children as possible to walk or cycle or scoot to school. We do have an initiative every few months. It's called Scoot to School Week. We do have it in October. We also have it in May and June when the weather is nicer. And it's just children who live in the local area, if possible, if they can come on their bicycle or on their scooter or walk to school, because it does help with the traffic congestion and it also helps for the health of the children and then towards the environment as well. So I understand that people, you know, have to go to work, and maybe if they work further away and they need to rely on their car, but especially our older students, our fifth and sixth class students, if they live anywhere locally, we do encourage them to walk, and it is great to see that a lot of them do. We understand if the children are younger it might not be as appropriate, but we always encourage, especially the older students, to try to cycle to school, especially because we do have cycle lanes here. We also have traffic lights, so it's easier for them to cross the road. So we'd hope that as many do it as possible. And we do have a lot of children that walk or scoot or cycle to school. On our walk, cycle and scoot to school week, we also encourage the staff to do the same. So anybody who lives in the town, they're encouraged to walk or cycle to school. And we do have some staff members that walk every day and a few that cycle every day as well, regardless of the weather.
St. Oliver's Green School committee members Ava, Tess and Alinka have their say about pollution.
To like stop air pollution, you could try ride your bike in to school. You could see a big factory, maybe it might be close to your house or something. There might be one with a big long chimney and it's probably getting smoke and polluting the air.
The trees do make oxygen for us. I do agree with Miss McVeigh, because some factories and cars have a lot of dirty air in the air and it's not good for us.
If people are travelling and not a lot, I think they could, because sometimes if you look up you can see like the smoke that comes from the airplanes. Like, it's okay to go on airplanes, like, usually. Like, not usually, but, like, maybe, like, once a year. Not loads of times, not going back and forth to different places, because there's no really point, and also it's good for the, it's bad for the environment.
I come by bus because my mum and dad have to get up early, but I think if I'd live closer, I would come walking to school. Sometimes when it's really nice, me and my auntie sometimes walk to school, and there's less traffic.
That's it from the final episode of Ours to Protect, all about air pollution. Thank you to everybody who participated over the last number of months. And thank you for listening in.
Ours to Protect is funded by Commission na Mban with a television licence fee and is a partnership between LMFM and the Independent Broadcasters of Ireland. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.